I know everyone maybe is expecting to hear me bounce on prison and inmates and everything. But you know, I am a lover of the prison, but I am a lover of my church. I am a lover of my church. Wow. Let's bow our heads. Loving Father, I pray that you will be present in this place. Thank you for your presence. Make me a nail on the wall that your portrait may be hung and your saints will be looking at it, but not Wilson. Let the words that will be spoken, dear Lord, be from on high. Help me to learn to honor you, that I will be able to speak to your people this morning. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable unto your sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. When I woke up this morning, and you also, to enjoy the fresh air, to observe the sun rising, to enjoy the middle of the day, to enjoy the cool breeze that blows. At the end of the day, to observe the sunset. If you are a person that goes on the beach, you observe the ocean, how the waves go back and forth. It goes back and forth. In my country, sometimes when the ocean is rough, there's a period of time. It happens about 3 or 4 times a year. When the ocean is rough, I don't know where in the world it gets rocks. But it gathers a lot of rocks on the entire beach, and there is no sand. And within another 3-4 weeks, all those rocks are moved back to the ocean. Or, of course, some of us in the islands, we take them and we make nice pavements in our yard. We do laundry by hand. So I know my mother used to put a lot of stones there where they bleach their clothes, because we use the sun to do the work that the Clorox do. Do you take that for granted? Answer me, church. Do you take that for granted? Yeah. The only reason that you and I can take these things for granted, it is because it was made available for you and for me. And so I have titled my message today, Availability. And I know you're looking forward to do it all over again. You're looking forward to go to bed tonight, and you're looking forward to wake up in the morning, and you're looking forward to go to bed tomorrow night, and to look forward to wake up the following morning. I wish you luck. Because you don't have that in control. You don't have that in control. Your Creator is the one that controls you. Because he is the one that created the world, and even until today, he is in control. Maybe for the past quarter, Those of you that come to Sabbath school, maybe you're tired of hearing the word creation. Creation. Everything they talk about all during the Sabbath hours, the Sabbath school time. Creation. This Sabbath. Creation. You know, there was a time we were afraid to talk about the Sabbath because we were afraid to offend someone. Somebody may hear we say Sabbath, and they think that we are going to offend them. We want to push them into being Adventist or being... But I am so happy that this quarter, the offer of this quarter's quarterly, saw that we need to put an end to it and make almost every lesson that we study for this quarter speaks about the Sabbath. Do I have a witness? I tried so hard when I was preparing this message to stay away from the Sabbath. I tried so hard. I prayed to God. I tried so hard, but I could not stay away from it. So I have to touch a little bit on it. I know we have been studying it all through the quarter. But I needed to talk about it because the Lord did not take it away from my thoughts. And how am I sure that God made provision for everything that you and I do? Because it was written in the book of Genesis, chapter 1. We're not going to read the whole thing because we all know the story. I don't want you all to think I don't know you all are Adventists and you all don't read your Bible. We all do. But I want you to pay attention to verses 1 through 25. And between verses 1 to 5, you will find the words, "And God said." Verses 6 through 8, we find, "And God said." And we find from verse 9 to 13, "And God said." 14 to 19, "And God said." 20 to 25, "And God said." What did he say? You know what the Lord said in all these, "And God said"? He gave us water. He gave us the earth. He gave us everything that we need for sustenance. And so I want you to pay attention very closely. In verse 6, when the Lord says, "And God said," that was the most beautiful thing that God ever created, although everything that he created, he said, and it was good. He created the tree, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything that we could think about. Even our own food. Do you know that God created our food? Do you know he prepared our meals before he even created us? And do you know that whenever we speak about health message, or you think that they're going to talk about, like, our program tonight, Pastor, I am hoping that everybody do not have in their mind that Pastor is just going to talk about meat eating. That's not only the health message. But let me say something to you. Do you also notice that God did not create his animals and allow us to partake of it for our health, for our intake? He created the trees with the fruits, and he created every herb yielding seed. And he said, "Man, it's yours for you to eat. It is your meat." That is what God created and provided for us. And then why did he create all of that? It is because he knows that he is going to put the most important object in this earth. And so in verse 26, he says, what did he say in verse 26? Let us read it. It is very important that we read it and let it sink in us. "And God said, let us do what? Make man in our own image, and let them have dominion over everything that he created." So in the first 6 days, God created everything and placed for man. And then he created man. So when man was created, there was not anything or nothing whatsoever man needed, because the Creator had already provided for them everything. For the flesh desire. Everything to sustain him. Everything to keep him alive. Everything to make him happy. Everything to make them clap for joy. Clap your tiny hands for joy, because Jesus Christ created everything. Children, you all know that little song? Clap your tiny hands, clap your tiny hands, clap your tiny hands for joy. Jesus loved to hear little children sing. Clap your tiny hands for joy. Man was very happy when God created everything and put in his place. But a week consists of 7 days. Isn't it? How many days in the week? 6? 5? 7 days. This is where the crucial part is. This is where the rubber meets the road. God has provided for man, for the flesh, for their own physical appearances, for everything else. But he didn't create man just for their own pleasure. He created man for his pleasure also. I want you to notice that. When God created man and gave him dominion, he gave him his job. The same day God, man was created, he worked side by side with God. And he called all the animals by name. He did everything with God when he was created. There is a phrase in the scriptures, in all the first chapter of Genesis, and the evening and the morning was the first day, and the evening and the morning was the second day. The evening and the morning was the fifth day. The evening and the morning was the sixth day, and everything that was to be created was created. Listen to me carefully. But when the evening, when the day end up in the sixth day, remember, the evening begins the day. And the day begins the day. And then another evening comes, which starts the other day. And when the sixth day was up, and then it began to come to its end, the evening, which starts the other day, what happened? God rested. And what he did before he rested, he created the seventh day. Am I right or wrong? God created the seventh day. And he stepped into his rest on the seventh day. And man was by his side. So when God created man, he created them and he gave them rest. No wonder when Christ was preaching to his on earth, he said the Sabbath was not made for man, but man for the Sabbath. Because everything was already created. But when he created man, he entered into the rest. And she said in Testimonies to Ministers, and God gave it to man. He gave man the Sabbath. Man already found what was there for him, but the Sabbath was not there until he created it and blessed it and sanctified it. Then God worked into his rest on the seventh day of the week, and he had man on his side. So the first thing man did after calling all the animals and after their work, they rested with God. How important is the Sabbath? Church, come on now, please. How important is the Sabbath? I want you to notice also that the Sabbath was created right in creation, and the first Sabbath on earth was worshipped by God, Adam, and Eve in the garden. And then the Sabbath is going to continue right until Jesus Christ comes. And the Sabbath will be worshipped in heaven for 1,000 years. And the Sabbath will be worshipped. Behold, I make all things new. From one Sabbath to another, and from one new moon to another, shall all flesh come to worship me. How important is the Sabbath? Are you supposed to be ashamed of talking about God's creation? Are you supposed to be ashamed of talking about God's Sabbath? No. Most important, you and I will be judged by the Sabbath. Do I have a witness? Let me say something to you, church. We don't understand. In this world, millions and thousands of different denominations in this world, but God is looking down in this earth, in this world, for two groups of people. Those who worship his creation, those who step into his Sabbath with him, and those that reject him. Those that accept him will hear from his lips, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of my life." And those who do not accept him, they will hear from him, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels." You heard that little song that sing, "Devil, take it, I'll bring it back. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blues." Let me say something. This don't have truth in it. I'm sorry to say that. This little song don't have no truth in it. Because this world is our home. God is going to purify this earth. And we are going to live in this earth. This is where he created for you and for me. When we go to heaven, it's only on a vacation. 1,000 years vacation. Have you ever been on vacation? That's what we will be doing, 1,000 years vacation in heaven. And then the rest of the time, we're going to be in our earth made new. That's the provision God made. But after God had done all these things, put man in a place, make provision for the man, the saddest thing happened. The saddest thing that ever took place in this earth's history was when the devil came in between. I believe the second chapter of Genesis was the most crucial time in all earth's history. We do respect Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John as they give us the story of the cross. Oh, what an awful thing they have done to our Lord and Savior. To nail him on the cross, to beat him up, and to spit in his face. But I still believe that the saddest thing that ever happened, and the most crucial and the most and the saddest chapter in the Bible, is Genesis chapter 2. When God placed man in the beautiful Garden of Eden and only put them there to dress this place and do everything beautiful for it. Do you know, my brothers and my sisters, when the Lord put us in a comfort zone, when the Lord decided to provide for us, do you know that there is people that is jealous of what the Lord gives you and I? And they come to mess what he have given you. And that is exactly what happened to Adam and Eve. They get, the devil could not stand the very thought that God was giving them this special attention. And so he decided to play his game. Oh, how sad. But when it was all done and said, the Lord run them out of the garden. two points I would like to make there. The Lord cursed the ground for the man's sake. It was then thorns and thistles was grown and created in the earth after sin. But what I really want to comment on is the punishment that God gave the woman. He says, in childbearing you will suffer. In the Virgin Islands, they don't allow the men in the delivery room. That is very sad. But my wife always said to me, if you was the one that, if things was reversed in the other way and you are the one that would go to the hospital, I don't believe we would have another child if you had one. But I will tell you what. If the opportunity was there for the men to go and witness their babies born, I would not have more than one child. Because I wouldn't be able to stand there and to see my wife in such an agonizing pain to bring a child in this world. In spite of all what went on with me, my mother, when I realized the importance of a child's birth and the pain a woman has to go through, it was when my mother had her last son, delivered the child in the house 10 miles away from the closest hospital. And she is dying of complications. I had just got a driver's license, and the owner of the car gave me the car with the nurse to take my mother to the hospital. And the nurse says, no, you're not going to get behind this car with your mother in there. She knows I was going to fly. She called the ambulance 10 miles away, and the roads are not these nice highways we have. It's ups and downs and valleys and ups and downs and valleys. But however, they waited for the ambulance, and when the ambulance got there, they brought my mother. I got in front of that ambulance, and I was at the hospital around 5 to 10 minutes waiting for them to get here. And the nurse said to me, you see why I did not let you drive her? But that is not the point. Right in the middle of everything, about half an hour to 45 minutes, I hope I'm not exaggerating. Then a nurse that is from our own district, that is our friend, family friend, she came out and she says, Mr. Daisy, and all of us was there. The doctor just said that now he think that he have saved her life. She was dying in child's birth. It's all because of sin. All because that the devil did not like what God was doing for us. Cause us to be suffering in this world today. But God, in his long suffering, in his love, in his long suffering, he still had mercy upon us. Man went into sin until it grieved God that he's going to destroy the world. Genesis chapter 6, you read the story over there. It grieved God that he created man. And he decided he was going to destroy the world. The amazing thing to read the story in Patriarchs and Prophets, it's when you read that Enoch, sons worked together with Noah to preach the gospel and to preach during the 120 years that God gave. Those folks understood the Lord had Enoch to prophesy about the flood. And so when God gave Noah the message to build the ark, Methuselah, which is Enoch's son, had no problem with all his family to preach with Noah and to build the ark with Noah. But what are some of the reasons that God destroyed the antediluvian world? breaking his commandments, which is the Sabbath, breaking his commandments, which is idolatry, breaking his commandments, the desires of man and woman. Yes, that's why the Lord says, as in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. All these lifestyle was being practiced in the antediluvian world. And sin has no place in the sight of the righteous God. And the only reason, my brothers and my sisters, you and I are not consumed right at this moment with our sinful lust, it is because of the mercies of Jesus Christ. But he don't destroy us without a warning. He don't destroy us without a warning. He warned the world. And yet the world was so stubborn. Only eight was saved in the ark of safety. Only eight. And the spirit of prophecy tells us that his sons had a lot of doubt in them too. But because of Noah, and they stayed there with Noah, they didn't walk away. They entered the ark. Some of us are sitting here this morning, including myself, is in here worshiping God, but our thoughts and our minds are all over the place. Do I have a witness? Don't put your hands up. We want to worship God, but the things that he gave us, we want to cherish it more than the God that created us. It was in the antediluvian world. In his love and his mercy, he made provision to build the ark. Talking about health again. It was after man came out of the ark. Oh, let me back up a little bit. The killing of animals for food was one of the reasons that God destroyed the antediluvian world also. Because his animals was created for what? For man to take care of. So flesh eating have not been a problem only in our days. It have been a problem in the antediluvian world. I'm not preaching about don't eat meat. Everybody, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. But the Lord says, I desire above all things that you are what? That you are healthy, that you are in good health. I rest my case. And after this continue on, man did not stop. Let me fast forward because of time. God put the children of Israel in Egypt for 400 years. And the most beautiful story is the Exodus story. Because we saw Christ working in the Exodus story. Moses represented Christ in the Exodus story. Moses was protected and he was hidden in the River Nile because he is the one that was going to represent Christ in delivering his people out of the 400 years of slavery. Moses. When Christ was born and Herod was trying to kill him, where did God send him? He sent them to Egypt. And then he called him out of Egypt. Calling you out of Egypt is calling you out of the world. Calling you out of the world. Come out of ye, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins. God is calling you and I out of Egypt. Calling us out of Egypt. Moses finally took the children of Israel out of Egypt. And the Lord called Moses on the mount. And Joshua went with him. And while Moses was there, Exodus chapter 32, we don't have the time to read it, but it's there. Exodus chapter 32 and 31. And while Moses was up there receiving the tables of stone written by God's own hand, his 10 commandments, what was the children of Israel down there doing? They were there building a false god. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven or in earth beneath. While God is writing that with his own fingers on the mount and handing it to Moses, the children of Israel are down there with Aaron building a golden calf. So while we are sitting here in church this morning, worshiping God, where is our thoughts? Where is your thoughts? What are you planning to do when Sabbath is over? What are you planning to, not even Sabbath is over, when church service is out? Are you planning to go down to the mall? Are you planning to go and do your own activities? What are you planning to do when the Lord, when the Sabbath is out, or even when you leave the church? The Sabbath is not out, my brothers and my sisters, until the evening. The evening and the morning. That's how God planned it. And that's how it is. But coming back to the children of Israel, they are down there, and Aaron had the nerves to tell them, this is your God that delivered you out of Egypt. This is your God. Is this thing a little too loud? This is your God. And so the Lord turned to Moses and he said, Moses, you hurry, go down. This is God speaking to Moses. You hurry, go down. Because the people that your people, you know what the Lord said to Moses? Your people. The people that you brought out of Egypt, Moses, they are down there committing fornication. They are down there committing sin. You go to them, because if you don't get them before, I am going to destroy them. God called the children of Israel Moses' people. And when Moses got down to the bottom of the mountain and he saw what was going, Moses was so angry. Everything was just bubbling over him. You know what he did? He melted the calf of gold, make liquid out of it, and mix it with water, and make the children of Israel drink it. You may call him criminal, but I'll tell you what. If he did it, the Lord allowed him to. And if he committed sin when he did it, the Lord have already forgiven him. And then the time comes in the reverse way now. The Lord called Moses back up, and so Moses is going back up to confront God. Beautiful story. When Moses was going down, the Lord told him his people. But when Moses went back up, Moses said to the Lord, they are your people. You bring them out here. And so if you are planning to destroy them, take my name out of the Lamb's Book of Life. That was a hard request. That gives you the sense of leadership. The man desired that his people be saved. Every preacher that stands in front of you and declare the gospel of God, he has only one desire, and one desire alone is for you to give your life to Jesus Christ. There is no other way, my brother. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. What is holding you back from accepting Jesus Christ? He is a loving God. Don't hold back on accepting Jesus Christ. He don't promise you tomorrow. And the Lord spoke with Moses, and Moses spoke. You see, we sometimes we get afraid to talk to God. Don't be afraid to talk to God. Talk to him like you're talking to me. He likes to hear your voice. Cry unto the Lord. Cry unto him, Isaiah says. Cry to the Lord. Let him know your sorrows. He know it already, but he likes to hear your voice. He likes to hear you talk with him. Do you know, if you and I just sit next to each other, ...6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, not one word from each other. You know that is the most boring thing?
The only way you could enjoy sitting next to the other person is if you are in communication. You have a good conversation. Sometimes you might get angry and get up and walk away, but you'll still come back because you want to continue the conversation. You know what I'm trying to say? Our ego, you know, our little ego, things happen to us. You know? So God wants to hear you talk to Him. Talk to God. And He is going to direct your paths. And then Moses said, you have to forgive them. You cannot destroy them. You cannot destroy them because they are your people. So who was the children of Israel? Was it Moses' people or was it God's people? It was both. It was God's people that God gave charge over. Like this church is Ron's church. It's God's people. But it's Ron's, Ron is the one that God put here to lead His church. You don't like how he leads? Don't come and tell me anything about Ron. Go and tell Ron. Are you afraid of him? I don't believe the conference would send him here if he was afraid of him. He have no horns. Now, he may not listen. He may not listen. He may not even hear what you say. But you have done your part. You see where I'm coming from? It is not your responsibility to know if he will listen or to do what you want. Because God is the one leading him. Maybe the things that you are accusing him for, the Lord have his direction in it. You have not seen the light. But God is guiding him in this direction. And that is why Moses had Aaron and all the men that he selected to stand behind him. You have a problem with our pastor? As God has placed him here? Talk to him. Let him know what is in your mind and what you think. He will be able to serve you better. The Lord let Moses know what the children of Israel was doing. And Moses did not accept the responsibility that it was his people. He says, it is your people. You bring them out here. But God did not destroy them without a warning. Let me wrap up with coming back to I want to emphasize that. I start with it and I'm going to close with it. Let me emphasize it. Ezekiel chapter 20. When the children of Israel have been placed, they were placed in a country flowing with milk and honey. The Lord have always given them everything they need. But the greatest problem God was having with the children of Israel, the two greatest sin that God was dealing with the children of Israel from the time they left Egypt, even until today, is idolatry and breaking the Sabbath. Is the two greatest sin that God have been dealing with the children of Israel until this day. And the story in Ezekiel chapter 20, that some of the elders that wanted to do right, as a matter of fact, they was in captivity, but some of them that wanted to do right, they came to Ezekiel and asking Ezekiel counsel how for they to do right. And so the Lord intervened and he says, and the Lord spoke to Ezekiel. And then he said, son of man, I want you to pay attention to that. He said, son of man. In other words, God is calling Ezekiel's attention that he will do what he asked him to do. So when the elders came to speak to Ezekiel, the Lord did not allow Ezekiel to speak. He put the words in Ezekiel's mouth. Tell them that they have to walk away from their idolatry. Tell them that they are polluting my Sabbath. Tell them, Ezekiel, if you don't tell them, I will destroy them. Tell them they are polluting my Sabbath, Ezekiel. Tell them they are committing, they are idolaters. They are committing adultery. They're doing all kind of stuff. Tell them my commandments, my law is sacred to me. Tell them, Ezekiel.
When the Lord says to Ezekiel, son of man,
he gets his attention. There was one word, one phrase that I know what was up. Mr. Man. Mr. Man means that when I heard Mr. Man from my granddaddy, I had to get ready to go down on my knees because a beating is coming. So when I heard Mr. Man, I know I'm going down on my knees because I'm going to get some punishment. I guess maybe that is where he got that phrase from. But when God called his prophet and talked to his people, he said, son of man, tell them. Do you know that God told Ezekiel that if you refuse to tell the children of Israel about their sins, I am going to hold you responsible for it, Ezekiel. So if there is a preacher that stands before you, be it the pastor or an elder or whoever where he come from, and will not tell you the truth of God's grace, his love and his mercy, he don't need to be listened to, because God is going to hold him responsible. He said, Mr. Ron, this is your responsibility to tell the children of this Lakeland Seventh-day Adventist Church what I have revealed to you. Mr. Wilson, it is your opportunity this morning to tell the Lakeland Church what I have in store for them. God gives you the responsibility when you stand before his people. Son of man, tell them. And look at why. Verse 12. Moreover, also, I gave them my Sabbath to be a sign between me and them. How important is God's Sabbath? It is a sign between me and you. This is my wife sitting over there. This is your wife sitting next to you, wherever you are. If you are going to choose your, if we are supposed to choose our partners and go and sit next to each other, where do you think I'm going to sit? I'm going to sit with the woman that the Lord provide me with. So are you. Because it is a sign between me and that woman that we are husband and wives. And so God is telling us that the Sabbath is a sign between you and me. Do you understand how important the Sabbath is? Can I ask the question? How important is the Sabbath? It is a sign between you and the God that you worship. Look at verse 20. What it says? And hallowed my Sabbath, and the day shall do what? He's repeating himself. Do you know God repeats himself? If you want to know how often God repeats himself to the children of Israel and to Moses, is you read the Exodus. You read the Exodus story. Exodus, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Number. You read the Leviticus story. Everything is repeated over and over, for God wants you and I to get our attention, because he don't want neither one of us to be lost. Because he created us to live with him throughout the ceaseless ages of eternity. That is why God created you, and that is why he created me. The Sabbath, my friend, is a sign between you that we may know that I am the Lord, your God. Without the Sabbath, there is no God in your life. Now, you may challenge me with that. There are lots of people. We're closing with that thought. There are lots of people
that believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what? And thou shalt be saved. But then when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, in other words, you believe it, then you testify to the fact that I love Jesus. And then what Jesus asks you to do if you love him? If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. What are the commandments? Exodus chapter 20 from verse 1 to wherever it ends, and thou shalt not steal. You see, the Ten Commandments, that is what you and I will be judged by, and especially the sign between you and God, which is found in the heart of the commandments of God. On our way to heaven, we will be traveling on the sea of glass. There are many people that have worshiped God, that believe in him, that knows him, and don't even know about the Sabbath. Some of them may have known about the Sabbath but didn't understand it. And church, listen to me very carefully, very closely. One jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass through the law until all be fulfilled. So if all be fulfilled, you cannot go to heaven if you have not kept a Sabbath on earth. Because, am I making sense? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So you cannot go to heaven unless you have kept a Sabbath here on earth. And God have made provisions on the sea of glass. Men like William Miller the source of our beginning of our of the prophecies, where the prophecies big time in the prophecies that we teach, did not keep the Sabbath. Lots of people did not keep the Sabbath, but they will have a chance to worship the Sabbath on the sea of glass. Just before Jesus Christ lay his hands on the pearly gates, just before he lay his hands on the handles on this pearly gate, and to let them swing on those glittering hinges. And then he will turn to his father and said, Father, these are the ones that I have redeemed from the earth. These are the ones that have gone to prepare a place for them, Father. Do you have room for them? The Bible didn't say that. But I'm assuming Christ would, you know, I'm excited too. But he's going to present the reward of his labor with his hands open up, outstretched, the holes in his hands. I have redeemed them, Father, with my blood. And Father will say, usher them in, my son. Let them come in, my son. You don't have to rush in because there's room for every one of us. But we will have a time to keep every inch of his commandment if we love him before we enter into heaven. The reason Satan did not stay there any longer is because sin could not stand in the presence of God. And if you and I pollute God's law and God's commandment, even including his Sabbath, you and I will be left on the outside. And so, church, the door is open. The door is open. Have you really understood the importance of God's law? Have you really understood the importance of the Lord dying on the cross? Have you, my friend? Do you really want to tell the Lord, no, I am waiting until next week? Did you know that he did not promise you next week? He promised you now. Now is the day of salvation. Now. Do you want to say, Lord, yes, I want to come. Come on. Yes, Lord, I want to give my life to you. This is the moment, my brothers. Are you ashamed to come by yourself? Grab the person close to you.
Wait a minute.
Grab the person close to you and let them walk you up. Don't be ashamed. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. The baptismal pool is there waiting. Are you going to say no to the Lord as we're going to sing a few stanzas from Just As I Am, The Door Is Open? Don't hesitate, my friend. Let us stand as we sing.